Looking for the perfect getaway in the heart of Red Rock Country? Discover Grand Plateau RV Resort in Kanab, Utah, where comfort meets adventure. Spacious RV sites, luxury cabins, and top-tier amenities make every stay unforgettable. Take a dip in the heated pool, relax in the spa, or unwind with private restrooms and pickleball too. Minutes from Zion, Bryce Canyon, and the Grand Canyon, Grand Plateau RV Resort is your ideal base camp for exploring the Southwest's natural wonders. And when the day winds down, enjoy starry skies and peaceful nights under the desert sky. Adventure, comfort, and convenience. That's Grand Plateau RV Resort. Book your stay today at gprvresort.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today, on a Thursday, we are predicting the finale of Survivor 48. I am joined by Tommy Smokes, the host of Snuff and Torches. Of course, you all know him from Barstool and Surviving Barstool. And he is here to help me break this whole thing down and figure out who's going to come out on top of this final five. He was joined last night over on his channel by Sam from 47. So if you haven't checked that out, make sure you do, because I know everybody was loving the Sam episode that I put out earlier this week. So I can only imagine now, like, him actually recapping an episode, people probably lost their minds. But thank you, Tommy, so much for joining. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, combining the Survivor podcast world.
Yeah, I know. And it's I feel like it's been a long time coming. I met you at the New York event. We both got invited to the premiere. And I had a nice time there, but I feel like you had some massive wins. Getting to meet Jeff and kind of pitch yourself and everything like that. And, you know, next thing I know, you're on an island, CBS inviting you to go like play a game. I'm like, what did I do wrong at that event that Tommy did right?
Yeah, I guess I just really wowed Jeff in our 3 minutes together. But yeah, no, that was awesome. Getting to meet Jeff for the first time. And like, you know, we haven't always been invited to those type of events, CBS Survivor, but you know, I think clearly the relationship's in a good spot now. So hopefully could do more stuff like that in the future. And yeah, the Fiji thing was dream come true. And then, you know, maybe this time, or I guess, let's think about it. This time next year, I'm on Survivor 51. That airs fall of 2026. So then I'll come on early 2027 as a former player.
There you go. There you go. I've already got you booked. I'm ready to go. I mean, yeah. I love that. I love that that's where you're at. That was the first time I'd been invited to something like that. Like I've been to an event here and there that I was invited to, but never like the premiere. And yeah, that got me going. That was the second time I met Jeff, and I'm like, should I pitch myself? And I was like, let me just talk to him and like whatever. And he actually remembered me, which was pretty cool. But then I see what you're doing, and I'm like, Tommy's going to be on season 51, and I'm going to be like kicking myself because he's over there pitching himself and doing this whole thing. And I mean, hey, man, I'm rooting for you. I feel like this is the prime opportunity. I've been saying it all season. They got to do a fans versus favorites again and take some of these fans that are like in this part of the community. Your TikTokers, your Instagrammers, your podcasters, because it wouldn't be as much of a disparity between the fans and favorites this time around like we saw the other two times.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like something we always talk about on our podcast is that one thing we wish casting changed is to actually cast less super fans, because I feel like now everybody's just like I saw a quote once. It was like, everyone's dream used to be to win $1 million. Now everyone's dream is to be on Survivor. And like, I think you need more like Davids this year who didn't know the show and ended up being compelling characters. I say that, but then as a super fan myself, I'm like, all right, we'll save like a couple spots for super fans still though.
Well, yeah, we want to be those ones. Like, it's not like our spot away. Yeah, of course. It's like also like when we talk about like the diversity initiative and stuff, it's like, that's great. But also like, I want to be the white guy that you put on the show. Yeah. Like, don't forget to still cast me. So I get where you're coming from with that. And I think what's been fascinating about this season, and we saw it last night, I didn't have a chance to listen since we're on like a 14-hour turnover here. But I think it's interesting to watch Joe play the game and understand like the physical aspects, understand creating an alliance, understand doing all that, but not understand the intricacies of the strategic game and the way that Kyle and Camilla and even Shaheen, who got voted out last night, do ultimately understand it. And it's starting to shine through because he's getting a massive edit. A lot of people think he's the front runner to win, but it goes to that point you just made of he's not a super fan. So he's missing some of the things that might have been tipped off to other players, where Shaheen in his exit press today was like, I was never worried about Joe beating me at Final Tribal. I know that I could have made a better argument than him.
I think that's kind of crazy, at least from what we've seen in the edit. Like, again, and we talked about this with Sam of like what you see on TV maybe not doesn't always reflect what they think in the game. Because I think all of us viewers have been like, you can't let Eva get to the end, right? She's got a great story. She'll win. And then last night, I think it was Shaheen who said like, oh, you know, Eva's not a threat to win. Like, Mitch is a bigger threat to win than her. And we're sitting back like, what? Like that? From what we've seen, that does not appear to be the case. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I feel like right now with Eva, I'm just totally in on she's a zero vote finalist, or if Joe's on the jury, maybe she gets a vote because she'll get it from Joe and maybe Joe can convince somebody else. I think what's going to hurt Eva is these are a lot of the jury is fans. And even the ones who aren't, they respect gameplay. Eva has been so tucked under Joe's wing right now. And because they're not the ones making massive moves, I don't see what Eva's pitch is at Final Tribal Council. And I think Shaheen said it perfectly last night. I didn't come the final six to hand Joe $1 million. Right. I feel like that's how a lot of people are going to feel with Eva too. Like, her story is amazing. It's incredible that she's played as well as she has, made it as deep as she has, you know, been as well liked as she has, and never come up as a target. But at the end of the day, Carolyn got no votes. I think Eva's going to fall into that same category of just like well-liked by the cast, didn't do enough from a survivor standpoint to earn my vote.
Agreed. Yeah. I think that Joe at least had, like you said, and I agree with Joe, isn't a Tony or Boston Rob level strategic mind by any means. He's had an alliance and he votes with his alliance. Like, that's, you know, season one survivor strategy. But I think where Joe does shine and why he's got such a good chance to win is his social game is probably one of the best ever. Like, for a first-time player, in terms of just the, like, we say it every, like, it's almost like he has a spell on these people where, why the fuck are you not voting Joe out? Like, why are you not voting Joe out? It's so obvious. Everybody's like, yeah, he's got a good shot to win. He's got four individual immunity wins. Like, I think his social game is great, but if he's at the end with Kyle or Camilla, I could see Kyle or Camilla being like, well, we actually sort of used you as a pawn, and we, you know, pulled the Shaheen move over your eyes, and, Gabe, I think it was, we had him on last week, brought up the point that I could see happening is Joe might become like a coach or a Hoboken Mike, where at Final Tribal, he doesn't own up to his game. Like, because you even saw it when he got voted out, or when he voted David out, or the week before David got voted out, like, David pushed him like, you lied to me. And Joe was like, I didn't go back on my word. I never go back on my word. And then he clearly goes back on his word when he votes David out. And if he can't just be like, yeah, I did lie a few times, it's Survivor, I could see people holding that against him.
Yeah, and I hear you. And so every week we do these predictions and power rankings. We got another guest on, and Sam was going, I believe Sam had said he's in on Camilla. I think that's who his winner pick was. Normally I write it down and I forgot to. And the week before, Austin had said Kyle. The week before that, Andy said Kyle. The week before that, we had Todd Herzog on. He said Shaheen. Ron Clark said Shaheen. And then Gabe, we had on way back at Final 12 when Cedric and Say double boot episode happened. And he said Joe. He's the last guest that we've had on the show to say Joe as their winner pick, which I think is interesting because, you know, like what Gabe is talking about, I think the Survivor players are kind of seeing Joe's shortcomings more than the fan base is. And so I think that's really fascinating because everybody seems like they've jumped on Kyle, Camilla, or Shaheen, and now Shaheen's obviously out. Early on, it was the Joe train. It was just Joe, and now that's gone away. So I don't know how much they're going to respect just the social game if Kyle and Camilla make this argument of, but look at how strategic we truly were.
And I do think that there needs to be we're going to get another payoff. Like, so much of the edit has been spent on the secret Kyle Camilla alliance, right? And up until last night, it really did not fucking matter besides when they voted out Thomas, like pre-merge, and they used the idol and everything. But like, there has to be a reason we're seeing so much of that. And it could be because at Final Tribal, one of them is there and they're like, hey, I had this secret alliance the whole time. Well, it's like the Marianne Idol reveal where it's, here's a piece of information you guys didn't know that helped me in the game. So, but then again, if Joe wins, it's going to be like, duh, right? Like, if Joe ends up winning, I think we're all going to be like, well, how did we not see that coming? Like, I do think that he's gotten such a positive edit. Like, there's, you know, been a couple moments where he comes off a little paranoid and stuff, but for the most part, it's been like the Joe show in a lot of ways. And last night, he had a couple emotional moments where it's hard to imagine his story ending badly, right? Because I feel like Survivor doesn't build someone up like that if they end up having... But I don't know. They did it with Carolyn, I guess. So it could happen. But if he wins, I don't think anyone's going to be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point, though, where I think I would be shocked if he sits next to Kyle or Camilla. If he sits next to both, he could win in a plurality. But if he sits next to just one of them, I think at this point, I would be kind of surprised if he beat them, because I think that the jury is going to respect the game. And I think that Gabe hit it on the head of this coach Hoboken Mike thing. That's going to be an issue for Joe if Joe can't say, well, I did have to lie here or there, because now there's two people on that jury that Kyle and Camilla will own putting on that jury that Joe won't. And that is David and that is Shaheen. And he's going to say to them, Kyle can say to them, look, I made that move. I tricked Joe, essentially made him feel like you were coming for him. And if Joe says, well, they were coming for me, they both just say, no, we both voted for Mitch at that tribal council. Like, we did not vote for you. And so I feel like this probably goes one of two ways. Either Joe goes to the final three against Eva and Mitch and wins in a landslide, or he does go out at four at Fire. And we've heard so much about falling on his sword for Eva and, you know, he's got her, all of that. That could be the story. And if he goes out at four right there in a heroic moment, that's ending on as much of a positive note as you possibly can with this guy.
I've been saying I want a Joe Eva Fire showdown so bad. I think that would be, just from a storyline perspective, that would overtake Tony and Sarah in Winners at War, of where it was like those two were like crying basically as they had to beat each other. And Joe and Eva have such like a outside the game. I mean, granted, they only know each other from the game, but like such a relationship that feels like it's bigger than the game, where them going against each other, I think, would just be emotionally quite a moment.
Yeah. Do you think if that were to happen, and we're going to go through a bunch of scenarios here as we go through these predictions and everything, but if that were to happen, do you think there's any chance that Joe essentially helps Eva in that moment rather than going for his own game? Do you think he throws it away or no?
That would bother me greatly, but I don't think he would. Like, I think that, listen, he's playing for his sister. He's playing for his family. He's got kids. He loves Eva, obviously, but you don't just also like, I don't know if he knows this and Eva knows this, but like Joe has a way better chance to win than Eva. Like,
yeah.
All right, Joe, you let Eva get to the end, that she gets one vote. She gets your vote. Maybe she gets two votes. Like, the goal for Joe, you never, if anyone ever lays down their sword for someone else, I would never respect them as a player.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what's interesting is obviously with the Survivor 50 cast being, you know, what's going to happen, who's going to be discussed, whatever, there's rumors circulating that maybe there is a Survivor 48 man on that season. Joe losing makes a lot of sense to be that guy. I think there's a couple options, but a Joe loss makes sense for him to go play 48 or go play 50, because he fits that old school, like there's a merger there, right? Of if he goes out on an island with like a Colby, those guys are going to hit it off. Yeah. They're going to get along. And I think that would be kind of exciting and make sense for this type of celebratory season. Plus, look, I feel like the internet, and I follow your tweets closely on Survivor Wednesdays, and I feel like you have the same frustration that a lot of the internet does, which is like, how could you not see to vote this guy off? It's not that I don't like Joe. It's just so obvious. But if he ends up losing, I think all of a sudden the reaction around Joe is so much more positive, because now you go back and watch the season and know that maybe this guy's the fallen angel. And oh, man, it wouldn't have been crazy if he won. We all thought he was going to win the whole season.
Yeah, I think that's like a distinct, and I think a lot of people probably are with me. It's like, I don't dislike Joe. He's obviously a great guy. And a lot of times I do vote or I do root for like the dominant player. I think the difference is Joe isn't as like strategically dominant. Like Tony, I'm always going to root for Tony, a Russell, a Boston Rob. Like I love rooting for that type of player. Joe is dominant, but in a different way that's maybe less like appealing to the viewer. Like, all right, he's got these great relationships. That doesn't necessarily make great TV. Like, big moves make great Survivor TV, in my opinion. But yeah, it is to a point where it's like, if Joe wins, you just got to respect the game. But I was thinking last night, like I kind of jokingly said last week, like I'm all in on Joe, like fuck it, they won't vote him out, I'll just root for him. But what would have really, I think, cemented that is if last night he clocked that they were lying. And I thought that was going to happen when Kyle was talking to him and they cut to a Joe confessional and he's like, you know, I'm looking at their body language, I'm looking at eye contact. And then, you know, a tribal council, they're doing the edit where he's listening to both of them speak. I was like, if this guy is such a godfather type personality that can read people that well and he clocks this lie, then, you know, he's got everything down you want in a great Survivor player. The fact that he missed that entirely, like was completely bamboozled by it, I think does hurt his case.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it just shows how well Kyle and Camilla really know Joe at this point, because you can't pull this move with a lot of Survivor players, because there's a lot of Survivor players who would just straight up walk up to Shaheen and say, so you have an idol and you're telling Camilla about it. And that would be bad, especially if you're in as much of a power position as Joe is. Joe had the necklace. And like Kyle said, that made this more stressful because he wasn't paranoid. He's not antsy.
Yeah.
Comfortable Joe is harder to get on his toes. And that was a bit of a risk. I mean, it was a massive risk, but I think the way it was executed by Kyle and Camilla was excellent. And I do think that between the David boot, the Thomas boot, which obviously is a long time ago, and now this boot, there's three things that they can discuss that Joe is just not going to be ready to have a rebuttal for if he sits next to one of them at tribal council. And I think that could kill him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you're looking at like the strategic moves, Kyle and Camilla have the edge. And I think it's also interesting. And I know you said earlier, like Sam had last week said his winner pick was Camilla. He did, because last night he said to us, my winner pick was Camilla. It now switched to Kyle, which I agree with him, because the way that move was laid out last night, it felt more like it was Kyle's move, right? Like the way we were shown it, it felt like Kyle was more the driving force. If I had this idea, he goes to Camilla. So I think Kyle is playing a great game. Like, I've been annoyed with him at times where it's like, why aren't you taking out Joe? But listen, if he gets to the end and he wins, either beating Joe or getting him out at Final Five or Final Four, I think we'll look back at Kyle's game as one of the most dominant first-time wins ever.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a totally fair argument. I know, like, Dom Abate was making that argument for Rachel last season, but I think I agree. Yeah, I think Rachel's always someone
like, I know winning immunity, finding idols, it's a part of Survivor, but she was, from Final 8 on, she was essentially immune, I think, or maybe besides one vote. Like, obviously there's a skill in that. To me, I'm always going to respect more of the game that they weren't safe. They saved themselves through like social and strategic plays.
And I think what's been fascinating about Kyle's, when you compare it to D's game, when you compare it to Marianne's game, when you compare it to Jam Jam's game, when you compare it to Rachel's game, and Kenzie's game to an extent, because Kenzie's was very subtle, but you know, there was a weirdness with that jury that you call it bitterness, you call it whatever, there was something. Yeah. But when you look at what Kyle's game has been, is it has been so relationship heavy, and it has been making the move at the exact right time. Like, so far, there hasn't been a single move that has then turned and made it look like Kyle was now going to be in trouble. And I think that's unbelievably impressive. Him and Camilla, the way they've played off of each other has been unreal. It really has. Yeah. It has been so impressive. And now if Kyle sits there at Final Three and he makes a compelling argument, whether he sits next to Joe or doesn't, I think he wins. And you're right. I think when you look back at this game, you'll say, how did I miss all of this the first time? And I think it goes back to the way Kyle pitched himself, which I've tried to do and it didn't work, but the way he pitched himself in his pregame press, you know, I tried to do this in my audition videos. He said, I'm the most average guy you're ever going to meet. I'm good at everything, but I'm not great at anything. And I think that's maybe what's coming through on this season, is because Kyle is 77 confessionals right now. Now, I know we get 90-minute episodes, so those numbers are going to be higher. But if he ends with another 15 or something like that, I think he's like top five or top six all time. But it doesn't feel like it, right? And I think on a rewatch, there would be such an appreciation for every single thing that he was able to make happen on this season, but how it was sly and subtle. And that's why some of these other characters might feel like they're overshadowing him at times.
Yeah, I think that is kind of a recipe to win in Survivor, to be average, right? Like, not, you don't want to be a big physical threat. Although Kyle is like, I mean, he's fucking jacked. Like, he's also
very tall. Did you meet him in New York?
Yeah.
He's a big dude. He doesn't come across that way on TV. He's a big dude.
I think like being with Joe and David, probably, you know, like they were seen as like these two, like it makes him a little less physically dominant. But yeah, he is like, in most seasons, I think people are like, oh, that's an athletic guy, we got to get him out. But yeah, his social game is phenomenal. I mean, even last night where Eva is like, I just trust Kyle more than I trust Shaheen. And, you know, they've been longer aligned with Shaheen. Like, Shaheen goes all the way back to the original Purple Camp, whatever the tribe is called. I never know the names. I just go by the colors.
Yeah, somebody has it over here. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah, like, and the fact that Kyle was able to, and he wasn't on her tribe in the swap either, right? Like, he was able to just build this relationship with her over the past 10 days or however long it's been.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes to how good he worked with Joe when they did do that swap. I mean, I feel like I'm already crowning Kyle a little bit, and I don't know if I necessarily want to do that. But after last night's episode, a lot of people were looking at, you know, the audio clip of Joe at Tribal Council looking back and forth with the sound playing. And a lot of people on the internet have been saying that's Joe is the main character. This is his win. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, no way. This is them focusing in on Joe making the wrong move.
True.
That might ultimately be why he loses.
Yeah, I do think that it's been very Joe, like Joe's without a doubt, like one of the main characters of the season. But from a strategic perspective, I think the edit has actually shown Kyle and Camilla are the more dominant strategic players, where it's like, you know, Joe might have all these nice moments and emotion. He even had the fly on. I remember a few weeks ago, whenever that was, with the immunity puzzle.
Yeah.
And like, he's got these cool little edits, but the person that's sort of walking us through the strategy of the season is Kyle.
Yeah. 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 And I think that sometimes is what's more important, right? Just because you're getting, you might feel like the main character, but Charlie felt like the main character, but Kenzie was kind of the one who was always guiding us on what was truly taking place. So let's talk about, we're at the final five. You're sitting here and you're watching this and you're starting to feel like Kyle, but who do you think's actually going to go out in fifth place?
I think Mitch, because, I mean, there seems to be an opinion on the island that he has a chance to win. I think from the audience, we're like, well, Mitch has no chance to win. I feel bad saying that. Great guy. But I think the audience, like, there's no way Mitch wins. So, and I do think that the, like, it's been a season, like Jeff even said in pregame press, it's a season of duos. And the two most dominant duos have been the obvious duo of Joe and Eva and the less obvious but more dominant duo of Kyle and Camilla, where it just feels right that that's going to be the final four, like the two duos. And I don't know why. Oh, I guess Mitch would go out because Eva's safe. Well, if Eva or Joe win immunity at final five, they're both in the final four because they'll just, Eva will give Joe the idol if she wins, and, you know, vice versa, they'll both be safe. So I can see Eva or Joe win the final or win the next challenge. They're both safe. And it's like, oh, well, let's just vote out Mitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where it's a little interesting, right? Like, if Mitch wins immunity, I think Eva probably, no, Joe probably goes home, right?
Yeah,
because Eva will play her idol on herself. She will stay. And I think that Joe and Eva will pitch, let's get rid of Camilla. And Kyle will say, I don't want to do that. He'll then go with Mitch and say, Mitch, do you want to sit at the end with Joe or Eva? Or would you rather sit with me and Camilla? And Mitch is probably going to say, I'd rather sit with the two of you. I think I can make a better argument against you. But if Mitch doesn't win, let's say Kyle wins. Do Kyle, Camilla, and Mitch ever try to team up to get Joe out there at five, knowing that Eva has the idol and will play it for herself? Or do they take that chance and say, screw it, we're going to let him get to final four because we feel that we've just outplayed him. Let's get rid of Mitch, who is a non-factor come jury time.
I would personally get rid of Joe in a heartbeat. Like, I think that You're in the end game now, right? Like, it's less about who am I aligned with and more about who I can beat. I think that switch usually happens around final six, right? Where that's sort of more the why of your vote, the motivation of your vote. But, you know, again, we're watching on TV. They're living it for 24 days or 26 days. There may be a feeling of we could beat Joe. And also, like, all right, well, if we put Joe on the jury, and Kyle has said this, he's a guy that I don't know if he's going to respect best game. He might be like, Kyle screwed me over. He didn't play with integrity. You know, I'm not going to vote for him. And then if Eva gets to the end, you have Joe for 2 days or whatever at Ponderosa making an argument for Eva, probably. And, you know, that was Shaheen's concern last night. So I think the easy thing is, like, I mean, even last night, the easy thing was to just vote out Eva. Right. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think that I would vote out Joe, but I think the way it's been set up, I think that they would, I don't think they're going to team up with Mitch unless they have to, like, unless he wins immunity.
Sorry, I muted myself there for a second, but yes, I feel like you're probably nailing that one. I just feel like if you're this close to the end, have we ever seen them vote the GOAT out at five?
I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm sure.
In the new era, though, it doesn't seem like that happens, right?
I mean, it's never the smart move, right? Like, you should always want to, like, you should want to be at the end with the two people you have the best chance to beat. Like, alliances be damned at this point. But I don't know if they're seeing it that way. And it's sort of been the theme of the season, is it's more about trust and alliances and not going back on your word. And to this point, Joe and Eva don't know that Kyle and Camilla played them. They don't know that they played them last episode. So Kyle and Camilla can vote out Mitch, get to the end, and then finally, when you're at Final Tribal, play the card of, we actually did break your trust, but here's how we did it to help our own game.
Yeah, and you hear Camilla say in the preview for next week, like, I'm ready to, I think only one of us can go to the end for us to better have a better chance to win. Now, obviously, Camilla's going to want that to be herself, but, like, you know, if it's her versus Kyle making fire, or maybe that's her way of saying, you know, Kyle, you win immunity, don't take me, right? Put me in fire and let's see what happens. Like, I don't know how that would exactly play out. And that's where, if that conversation is happening around Final Five, that's a total red herring in the preview, because Kyle and Camilla can't turn on each other at five, because then at four, one of them is probably making fire against Mitch because Joe is the favorite to win immunity.
Right. Yeah, I think that also that like clip we saw, the conversation, could be maybe Camilla won immunity at Final Four, and she's saying to Kyle, like, I might have to put you in fire because I'm taking Eva or Mitch. Like, I'm sitting them next to me because I think they're a bigger goat. And I do think there is an element to, if Kyle and Camilla are at the end together, it hurts their chances a lot, and it really helps who's ever sitting there. Because when you have, if you have one of them at Final Tribal and you're like, I was the part of this duo that made all these moves, and you have, like, let's say that's Kyle, then you have Camilla at Ponderosa, you know, telling everybody about this and making that argument, that's better. If they're both at the end and they're both like, we did this together, we did all this, that could split their votes, like you said earlier, and then Joe or somebody wins where it's like a, how many people are on the jury? Eight. And maybe they win in like a 4-2-2 vote or something.
Yeah. And which is what I've been kind of thinking, but like, in that moment, you still have to find somebody who can get four votes, right? And Mitch, Eva, neither one of them can get four. They can get two, maybe. They can get one, maybe. But I don't see any way that either one of them get four. But Joe could do that. Like, Joe could be the person who, 4-2-2, he wins the game. The thing is, though, Joe has to get to four, because otherwise it's a 3-3-2, and the person who gets third is always going to vote for either Kyle or Camilla because it's them. What's interesting to me, though, is, like, look at this jury, right? David, Cheyenne, Star, Mary, Cedric, Chrissy. Do you see any locked in votes for Joe from those six people?
No.
And definitely, I don't either. Yeah.
But I don't see, honestly, if you asked me that question for any of the five left, I don't know if I'd have a yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I don't know who's still in the game that has, like, a locked jury vote. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody really, right?
I think their locked jury votes are still in the game, right? Exactly. I think that's, like, what you're talking about. Like, Camilla goes to Ponderosa. She talks up Kyle. Joe goes to Ponderosa. He talks up Eva, or Eva goes and talks up Joe. I think those are the things that would happen. And that's where I think that going into this Final Tribal Council, it is going to be an authentic, I have no idea who I'm voting for, convince me why I should vote for you. Here comes Kyle, or here comes Camilla, to just be like, this is everything, because there's nobody locked in. And I think at this point, did Sam talk on your podcast about what number juror he thinks is the most important to actually being able to convince people?
No.
So he was talking about how, you know, when your closest ally in the game is the first juror, there's this feeling of like, oh, Mayor of Ponderosa, they're going to talk for me. But what happens is, as more people get eliminated, they have more information, and it starts to skew the minds of those people who go out early. So he was saying, really, final six, final five is kind of the person who might be able to have the biggest impact on the jury. Now, Cheyenne doesn't know what just happened to him. He just got hit by a truck in an intersection. He had the green light, so he doesn't know what was going on. But Cheyenne's now on the jury, willing to hear out what happens. Mitch could go at five and he has no way of telling anybody. So now all of a sudden that fourth place person really does matter, which, if it is Camilla or if it is Kyle, they can make such an argument for everybody of like, you don't even know what's been happening this entire season. And so, you know, I feel like that is actually going to be very important, because I feel like most of the jury right now, David's mean mugging, but I feel like that's the look on most of their faces is confusion of like, I really don't know why the people who are going home are going home.
Yeah, the reason has been they're not in the alliance, right? Like, yeah. But you can't really give credit. I guess Joe would be seen as like the head of that alliance, right? Like if you had to give credit to somebody for like the power alliance that's been taking people out, you'd probably give it to Joe. But yeah, they don't know the intricacies. I think that, yeah, like you said, if it's Kyle or Camilla at Final Four or at Final Five and they get to Ponderosa and they say everything, that's the difference. Because even if it's Joe or Eva getting there, like Joe or Eva aren't going to say anything about each other that everybody in the game doesn't know, right? It's like, yeah. Hey, we were really close. But that, there's no like new piece of information to give the jury that's going to swing them. Kyle or Camilla have those new pieces of information that could swing the jury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, there haven't been many puzzles on this season. So I have a package with Russell Muscle TV where he makes his own 3D prints, his own puzzles and everything and sends them out. So if you want to check that out, check out the link below. But I haven't really talked about it much this season because there really haven't been that many puzzles. Joe has 4 immunity wins. If Joe were to win 6, if he were to win at Final Five and win at Final Four, do you think that that actually would be enough of an argument to garner him the votes at the end over a Kyle and Camilla, even if they're making the pitch that they could make easily?
I'm trying to think of like David might respect that because he's like, you know, a muscle guy, like wants to be on the challenge. I could see like, I mean, here's something I know about the jury. Cedric will not vote for the winner. Like Cedric will continue his streak of always voting for the wrong person. Like Cedric will not vote for whoever wins. You could pick out of a hat who he votes for. I think Chrissy would be who played the best strategic game because from what we saw of her, which is pretty limited, but from what we saw of her, like towards the end of her game, she was like, guys, are we going to play Survivor? Like we're out here to play Survivor. Like she seems like somebody who respects the strategic game. I don't think Mary would give a fuck who won the most challenges.
Yeah.
Maybe Star. She's an athlete, right? She played basketball. Maybe that matters to her. But I don't, a lot of these jury members, I don't know how they're going to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's one of those where 5 has been the number for so long, right? Like since Colby said it in season 2, 5 has been the number. Colby doesn't win though. Terry ties it, doesn't win. Tom ties it, he wins, but also the most dominant game probably ever played. You talk about Ozzy gets the final try. I think from start to finish, the way that season went, I think it's just the most dominant game of like, he literally led a tribe that demolished another. And then the post-merge just won 5 of the 7 immunities or whatever. Like it like the amount of times that he was eligibly voted out is unbelievably low. It's insane.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best winner, but I just think that first game is probably the most dominant from that standpoint of what Survivor was at the time. Yeah. And then, you know, but Ozzy sits at Final Tribal after winning 5 and loses. Now you did have Mike Holloway in there. Sure. But Mike Holloway also sat next to Will and Mama C.
Ben Dreebergen, who I think I still like hate that season because I thought Chrissy should have won. I thought Chrissy was a way better player than
which
Ben.
Is so funny because anybody who listened to our recap last night, Will was talking about how HHH is so underrated and Ben is so overhated. So it's funny that here you are to say the exact opposite the next day.
Well, Will builds the challenges too. Will is going to
that was the first season he worked on.
Yeah, he's going to be skewed to the challenge players.
Yeah. Exactly. And then you had Brad. Brad was the most recent example and Brad lost. So when you really break this down, getting 5 doesn't matter. Yeah, Brad Culpepper won 5.
I don't remember that at all.
He won 5. I know it that season is just what that season is. But yeah. I feel like getting to 5 doesn't matter. But if you break a record that has been intact since season 2,
it could be enough.
Yeah. That could be it, but
I don't think it'd be enough for me, but I wouldn't be like, that's fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause at least you are breaking a record. That's insane. Like that record has been around for so long. There's fewer opportunities, whatever, for him to win 5 or for him to win 6 would be incredible. So going back to the point, you're saying Mitch at 5, I'm agreeing with you. What percentage chance are you really giving Mitch to beat both Kyle and Joe in this challenge? And like even Camilla are both good at challenges too. Like, are we giving Mitch really any chance here? Or is he just 5th place? Thanks for playing. It didn't work out for you.
I mean, I don't think Mitch is a bad challenge player either. I think Mitch has had some moments, you know, the shooting the ball. Like he's not a complete lie. So I think he could win the challenge. But yeah, if you're talking about great, I think he's probably the fourth best challenge player left. Like Joe, even Kyle are all ahead of him. I'd probably put him ahead of Camilla. Camilla's probably better at puzzles, so it depends what it is. He's got a physical edge on her. But yeah, his chances of winning the next challenge, I don't know, 12%, something like that.
There you go. Yeah, so you're literally breaking it down a little bit worse than 1 in 5, right? That's kind of where we're going here. Yeah, so I mean, I'm going to be in agreement though, and I'm going to say Mitch goes 5, and the only way that Mitch survives is by winning immunity. Otherwise, I think Kyle and Camilla, I think, are having the conversation about we have a better chance to win if only one of us is in Final Tribal Council after Mitch loses immunity at Final 5. Because I think Mitch comes to them and says, hey, if you want to vote out whoever, Joe or Eva, I'm ready to do it. And I think that Kyle and Camilla are sitting there saying, if we get rid of Joe or Eva now, great. But we're going to go to the end very likely as a pair against one of them, and that could be bad for us. So maybe it is better to just get rid of Mitch. And whoever wins immunity will take Eva to the end. And then if one of us is sitting there and one of us wins fire, great. Then we can beat Eva, but we
can't. Why not say vote out Joe and then whoever else wins takes Mitch to the end?
True. I guess that's true, because if you get to Final 4, one of you is sitting in the Final Tribal. So it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think that Joe is the biggest threat to win outside of those two. And I mean, I guess they're both low, but I feel like Eva's chances of winning are better than Mitch. So I think if you have a move of getting out the front runner and also guaranteeing yourself a chance that, you know, you're keeping Mitch or Eva in the final three, I think that's the move. But again, it just doesn't feel like that's the vibe that they have. Yeah. I don't know.
Part of me feels like Joe's going to win immunity at 5. I feel like that's what's going to happen. Yeah. I feel like that's what's going to throw this off. And a lot of people were talking about on Twitter and in our comments and everything yesterday of, well, Kyle and Camilla are now going to be targets because of what they did. And it's like, Joe has no idea what they did. Nobody feels like they protected him.
Yeah, they're not. That's why it was such a well-executed move, is they maintained the facade that they're not really working that closely together, have the trust from Joe and Eva. So no, they are not targets. They pulled off a move that will help them in the end, but it doesn't put a target on their back now. It's not like Denise in Winners at War, right? She pulls off the big move of Sandra, but it's like, all right, you also just put a huge target on your back for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Also, like, why? Anyway, God, that season, man. That season. Are you a Winners at War fan or no?
Oh, I love Winners at War.
Do you? Okay.
I mean, I'm just such a Tony guy. Like, Tony's probably my favorite player ever. So I think his dominance that season is – I think it's the most impressive game ever played is Tony in Winners at War, because obviously he was great in Cagayan, but he's got the benefit of a clean slate. Nobody knows who he is. And, you know, we saw what happened when he comes back from Game Changers. He's an early target because he was crazy. He's like running around the beach minute one. Like the way he adjusted his game for Winners at War and was able to, you know, the lions and hyenas thing he always talked about, the way he was able to build those social bonds while also playing in under the radar chaotic Tony strategic game, I think is incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I love Michelle and Tony. I really do. And honestly, like, I think Sarah and Ben are both like solid too. I just feel like so many people in that season played scared that it always feels like a little bit of a disappointment to me, especially like when you compare it to the one that it's most comparable to from a returning player season is Heroes Villains. And you think about how aggressively everybody played in Heroes versus Villains. I just feel like that wasn't there in Winners at War. Although Tony, yeah, thank God Tony won.
Tony's a way more satisfying winner, though, than Sandra, which I think is what
I agree,
at least in my opinion, which is what gives it the edge. Well, Heroes versus Villains overall is the better season, but
yeah. But I get what you're saying, where Tony's win feels like the correct answer to who is the best winner in Survivor history, right? Like when you're talking about Survivor winners at war, if that's the experiment you're trying to do, it makes sense. And yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see winners on Survivor 50. That's all of a sudden the rumors are circling that we might see winners. I don't think we're getting Tony or anything, but you're shaking your head already.
It's great. I'm so curious. I feel like we'll know within a few weeks, because I think as soon as it starts taping, what's his name? Redmond, Martin Holmes.
Yeah.
We'll like have like the list, and I'm very excited because it's changed so much. Like, at least from what we know as the fans, which like we might not know anything, but it feels like it's changed so much in terms of who it's going to be. And it does. I just hope it doesn't end up feeling like Game Changers, where it's like, all right, why exactly are these people, like, there's not really a theme. And like, I just don't want all the good players to go out early too. Like, that was the biggest problem with Game Changers is Tony, you know, JT, Malcolm, like they all went out early, Sandra. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm very curious when he's going to release it, because 49 finished filming last night from what I understand. And so he still hasn't released that cast. He says he's not going to release it till like after it's done. So we should be getting that today or tomorrow. So now if the show starts filming in 2 weeks, is he going to drop it as soon as they start filming? Is he going to wait till the end of the season like he did with 49?
No idea. I feel like we'll get it when it starts taping. I feel like somehow it'll get out.
Somehow. It's got to, right?
How does he know all this?
Dude, he's got some source who just has not been caught. I don't know, man. He just finds all this information out, and he's always right. That's the thing. But right now, he's, from what I understand, I mean, I'm not a patron of him, but from what I understand is he's speculating on who a lot of it is. Like, he knows that there's certain seasons and genders in the mix, but he's not actually hearing like specific names. Except for like maybe Elizabeth, because it's like it's a season two woman that you're not going to expect. And it's like, well, who else would that be? It's not going to be anybody but Elizabeth at that point. So
I will say, if we somehow go until January or February not knowing the 50 cast,
that won't happen.
For Survivor, like I don't really understand why they care so much of like knowing who's, like, I understand you don't want people to know who's on it before because you don't want the cast to start talking to each other. But, you know, if in June we find out who's on Survivor 50, that's, you know, half a year, more than half a year, 8 months of just build up for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I don't understand that either, unless it's like because they're worried about spoilers and things like that. But spoilers are going to come out if spoilers are going to come out. I guess Hirov J here corrects me and says, now Phil Redmond does know names. He's hinting at some of them in his Patreon. Okay. But I agree with you. Like, look, my whole offseason is based around this Survivor 50 cast dropping in the first week or two of June. So it better drop in the first week or two of June. Otherwise, this podcast is going to be a desert for a long time. And I mean, I know, I remember the hype going into 40. I remember the hype going in even 34. Like, that, you go look at our highest viewed episodes, it's almost all Winners at War and Game Changers, either hype or tell-alls or recaps or whatever. And it's like, I know that the hype for 50 is probably double what some of those are right now, because this is such a wide range and people are so invested. Like, Redmond actually might be the best promoter of this season right now because of the half leaks and half not leaks. It's got people talking. I mean, we're in the 48 finale predictions episode and we're taking a 5 minute break here to talk about 50.
I feel bad for the cast of 49, because I mean, listen, if it's a great season, it's obviously going to get the attention it deserves, but it does clearly feel like it's the appetizer for the main entree of 50.
And we've seen that. We saw that with Samoa. We saw that with Island of the Idols. You even saw that to an extent with Korong when Korong got
Samoa, though, Russell was so dominant that it took its own spot.
Well, and that was also the setup of Russell going and now playing Heroes Villains, right? And I think about like with Korong, how they moved the season back. People kind of forget how good Korong is because it came after Second Chance, and that's all anybody wanted to talk about was Second Chance, right?
But also, there's an example of Survivor letting everybody know, hey, here's who the cast is going to be. They literally revealed it live at the 30 reunion before they went off on the bus or the flight to Fiji. So like there, or to Cambodia. So there is like a precedent for them revealing the cast before it tapes.
I mean, the smartest thing that they could do is say, we're going to reveal it. But here's the problem that they've run into is when they did that, they also knew that they were pushing Korong back and they were going to move this season up to 31. You can't move 50 up to 49 because then it's 49. Right. So that's why they're probably trying to let's talk about season 49, guys. Let's focus on that. Maybe that's why they don't want to push it. But I mean, I can tell you the one thing that's not leading to the hype of 50 is the questions that we answered and stuff. Like, that did nothing for me. That was a massive disappointment in my opinion. So,
I mean, I thought there was going to be a lot more. Like, I didn't know we were going to be picking out the tribe colors. I don't give a fuck what colors they're wearing.
Yeah. I sat there in that same room as you and I was like, this will be cool. We're going to choose between like two and three tribes, final two or final three. And then it was like, yo, like, what color? That's it. We got fire making and we got idols, and that's really it. And like, the answer to idols, in my opinion, is an obvious yes, because that's what it's about.
Agreed. But like, that should be it. Like that. But we didn't get to vote. Like, I want to say in week one or two of the voting, there was a general like advantages a lot or a little. But like, that isn't like, to me, It should just be idols.
Yeah. And that's what I thought we were voting for when we did advantages. And that's why I was so angry last night. Cause I was like, I wouldn't have, I mean, I already voted for the least amount of advantages, but I'm like, why did we vote for a number of advantages if we're just voting for idols again anyway? That's the only advantage I want to see. That's what I was hoping picking the lowest would bring into the game. But here we are.
I see Wesley in the chat too said, is it possible someone from 49 makes 50? I would say it's possible, but very not like. Like, you would have to have a Russell-type character. And maybe that's part of the reason the cast isn't final, is they were leaving open a spot or two where it's like, in case there's such an amazing player on 49, and then it could work the way Samoa did for Heroes vs. Villains, where you have this unbelievably dominant player, and it helps build hype for them coming back, you know, 3 months later. Like, I would say it's unlikely, but yeah, if you have, like, a Russell-type, then sure, it's possible, yeah. Right?
It's always possible. I mean, they're always going to leave the door open, but you think about, well, Winners at War, like, they weren't going to invite Tommy because the season was too negative, and Tommy wasn't this Russell type player. They didn't even bother to invite Underwood, and Underwood was the year before. So I think, like, people are talking about Say and things like that. Like, I don't feel like it, I still don't feel like Say is going to be on this season. Like, a pre-merger from season 48 doesn't make
crazy
sense.
Crazy if Say's on 50, it's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on that train for a while here. So, but all right, let's go to the final four. So we both think Mitch is getting fifth place. We get to the final four now. We have the two pairs squaring off. What do you feel is going to happen at this final four? Is this a Joe wins immunity, takes Eva, Kyle and Camilla face off? Kyle or Camilla win immunity. Who do they take with them? And if Eva wins immunity, does she take Joe with her? So that, I think that's the most compelling question about this final four is, who does everybody take if they win?
I think it's a Kyle or Camilla win at final four. And then they have to wrestle with the fact of, like, hey, it's probably not great for us if we're both there. I'm going to take Eva, and then good luck against Joe and Fire.
Because I do feel like if Joe goes at five and one of them wins immunity at four, they have to be sitting there going, who cares? Like, let's go sit next to each other. Mitch isn't going to pull four votes. Eva's not going to pull four votes. So, like, we're fine. But if it's Joe, and that's why I think Joe will still be around at that point. Because if it's Joe, then it does feel like it is, you know, a bigger conversation about who do we take. And I do feel like no matter who wins immunity at Final Four, even if it's Mitch, like if Mitch somehow survives and gets there, I feel like they are taking Eva with them to the end because they feel like they can beat Eva, which if you would have said that to somebody at the beginning of the season, knowing Eva's story and seeing how those first couple episodes went, you would have thought they were insane.
Yeah, I think that Eva, I mean, up until really last night was the first time where I was like, oh, Eva really doesn't have a chance to win. I've kind of been on the train of like, Eva gets to the end. It's like, you know, so impressive with everything, like she'll win. But it seems like that's not the vibe around the cast, which is good. Like, you don't want, like, her story is incredible, but like, you can't just be like, oh, she has to win because she got to the end. Like, she has autism. Like, you want to still reward the best game.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, how a lot of people view the game and stuff nowadays. And you have to even think all the way back to season six, like, people weren't going to vote for Chrissy if she made it to the end. Like, if they didn't like her, they didn't like her. They voted her out because they thought that she was getting a little too, you know, high on her horse there, you know, whatever it was. And she was too confident. And I feel like that's kind of the situation Eva's in, where, like, yes, it's impressive. And yes, they're going to be inspired by her, but ultimately she didn't make the moves or do the things that needed to be done to win Survivor. So she doesn't win. And I think she gets taken. Now, if Eva were to win immunity, what do you think ends up happening? Does she take Joe?
At Final Four? Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I think if Joe or Eva win, they take the other one, like, 0% doubt. I think the more interesting question is if Kyle or Camilla win, what do they do?
So actually getting to a Joe versus Eva Final Four fire making
I know,
hard.
Seems impossible. I was just thinking that. Unless you have Mitch in Final Four, right? Like, unless... No, but then that means Kyle or Camilla went out. Yeah.
And they're going to probably vote out one of them anyway. Yeah. Like, they're going to vote out Joe or Eva at five. So maybe this can't happen.
Right. Yeah. It's good. Unless they just, Kyle and Camilla are like, you know what? Let's go to the end together and hope Eva beats Joe and see what happens. But Yeah, now that we're really talking it out, it feels like it's logistically hard to get there if they play the way we think they're going to play.
Yeah. So who would you put in fourth place then? Who do you think is going to be this Final Four fire-making loser?
So I'll say Kyle wins at Final Four, takes Eva, Joe beats Camilla.
Okay. So you're going to have Camilla in fourth place.
Yeah.
So now in your scenario, you're into a final three of Eva, Joe, and Kyle. And you were talking about earlier that Joe kind of has to end on a positive note. In that scenario, then, do you think Camilla does enough convincing of the jury in as little time as she's going to have to convince them to vote for Kyle and that Kyle will make his argument? Because would Joe finishing second place be that positive that you're talking about here?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I'm saying that it's not necessarily true. Like I'm kind of saying that just based, but like, I think it's also very possible that he ends up with the Hoboken Mike or the coach where, you know, he is a great character, but he has some flaws that we saw last night. And we did see hinted at a couple episodes ago with the David, you know, I didn't go back on my word. Then he votes out David. So maybe it ends up as Joe instead of like, is just this 100% positive hero. It's more of like, all right, he's more of like a flawed hero that doesn't win because of those flaws.
And I guess my biggest takeaway from Joe is why would you edit him negatively, right? He hasn't been rude to anybody. He hasn't been mean to anybody. He's not a villain. He's not overly strategic. So why would you edit him to be like a bad guy? Like they didn't edit Mike Turner to be a bad guy. They edited him to be like, I'm respectful of these cultures. What's going on? He loses 7-1.
Yeah, I think that it's just always like thinking like Survivor wants you to be satisfied with the winner, right? Like at the end of the day, every season of Survivor is its own story and you want the winner of that story to be a hero, right? And you don't necessarily want the people they beat to be villains, but you want to feel very satisfied with who won as much as that could be. There's obviously going to be exceptions to that. So it's not like it's a hard, fast rule. And yeah, maybe I could see Joe because the way we just laid it out, I think Kyle beats Joe and Eva in the end.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're probably right, but for my official rankings here, I'm going to go the opposite round. I'm going to say that Joe loses Final Four fire making and Camilla does get into the end. Now I could be crazy saying that, but I'm going to go that route just because I think those are the two most likely scenarios. I think you're right. And I think Kyle, Joe, Eva is the most likely final three, but Kyle, Camilla, Eva is not that outlandish to think about.
No, not at all.
It's not. I think what makes your argument better is who's the favorite to win immunity at four? Joe, if he gets there. Joe takes Eva, Kyle versus Camilla, one of them's getting in. If Eva wins immunity, she takes Joe, Kyle versus Camilla, one of them's getting in. So in more scenarios, only one of Kyle and Camilla are getting to the end because Camilla's the underdog going into that final four.
Yeah, but the Final Four challenge, I mean, depending, like, if it's like Samotion, right? Like, that's my favorite Final Four, Final Immunity. I don't know if anyone is a strong, like, I don't think Joe's the heavy favorite in that, right? True. Like, I think that that's kind of an even playing field. I think a lot of Final Four, I mean, it depends, but I think a lot of Final Immunity challenges are less physical and they're more like mental focus and endurance. So I don't know if, I mean, Joe has like a full package, but if it's something like that, I almost think it's like kind of close to a quarter chance each.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. That is fair. And so I'm going to say, though, that Camilla somehow or Kyle beats Joe in fire. Because we had the confessional last night of Shane saying, what, I'm going to beat the firefighter in fire, and rolls his eyes. Has Joe been making fire with Flint? Was he doing that before he played? Like, again, I keep going back to the fact of I know that he's playing for his sister. Right. I know that his sister was the fan. He's not a huge fan of Survivor. Was he practicing beforehand? Like, is he going to be that good at fire? Or could Camilla potentially be like, I've been a fan since day one. I've been in my backyard making fire since I got the first phone call.
I mean, logically, Joe should be the worst at making fire. He puts fires out. Like he doesn't start fires. He might start building a fire and then just blow it out instinctually. Like, oh, fire, got to get rid of it. So just because he's a firefighter, I don't think means you know how to make fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to say Joe gets fourth and I'm going to line up a Kyle, Camilla, Eva final three. You have a Joe, Kyle, Eva final three. I think those are the two most likely. I really have a hard time seeing Camilla getting to the end and not Kyle based on what we've seen in the show so far. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, because I think Kyle's been seen as the more dominant player. It's hard to imagine that, like, it's been set up for Kyle to be the jury member making the case for Camilla. It's more likely in my mind to see Camilla as the jury member making the case for Kyle.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think Mitch, I'm just not buying that Mitch and Eva are both in final three. And I know Eva can't go at five, so whatever, right? So these are the two scenarios that we're going to...
Most likely to make final three.
Yeah.
Eva, I think, is the most likely to make final three.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you on that. So let's talk through these two scenarios here. Joe, Eva, Kyle, the most likely of the scenarios. How do you see the votes going, knowing that Camilla is going to be over on the jury?
I think Kyle wins for sure. I mean, the question is, how many votes does he not get? I feel like we haven't seen a close vote really in a while, right? I think
Austin was 5-3, Charlie was 5-3.
Okay. But I do feel like a lot of new era seasons have been, like, last season was 7-1. Marianne, right, was 7-1 or something. Like,
Jam Jam was 7-1. And then you keep going back, like Gabler was 7-1, Erica was 7-1, I think. So yeah.
Yeah, like I think a lot of new era, for whatever reason, it's just like I think that group think at Ponderosa gets people to, unless there's a very close relationship where it's like, well, I have to vote for that person because they were my ally. But I don't think in a Kyle, Joe, Eva scenario, Joe and Eva don't have any automatic votes because the only automatic votes they have are each other. So who would vote for? I could see like Cedric voting for Eva. I don't know. Like maybe Kyle went 6-1-1 or something.
Cause I feel like in that scenario, Camilla's a lock for Kyle, right? Kyle. Like that's not even a question. That's one. I think that Shaheen hears how he was duped, respects it so much. As Phil Solomon from Deal or No Deal Island says here, didn't think I need to see Shaheen on 50, but I feel like his gaming intellect was underutilized. He just waited a little too long. I think this guy's probably got some regrets right now, but I think he's a really good player who on another season could win another season. I think he would respect this move so much and be like, wow, that's what it took to take me down. That's a vote. I think David votes that way. So you already have three for Kyle. And it's from three
people. I think Mary votes that way too. I don't think Mary's voting for Joe or Eva.
Probably. I think Mary does. And I think Mitch does. Mitch is probably going to vote for Kyle because Mitch was involved in those plays, right? I know Mitch is getting just shit on online here, but like Mitch has been involved in some of the bigger moves on this season, the David blindside and the Shaheen blindside he was involved in. He has firsthand knowledge of that. I actually think sending Mitch to the jury is almost a lock vote for either Kyle or Camilla if one of them is sitting at the final trial.
Yeah, I could see he hasn't been the driver of the votes, but he's been in the passenger seat. It's like he's been in the car ride, but he doesn't really, he doesn't know how close Kyle and Camilla are.
No, he doesn't know that. Right? He just happens to have voted with them a couple times, right?
Does Mitch, we didn't even really see this last night unless I missed it. Does Mitch know that Kyle and Camilla completely made up that lie about Shaheen? I don't think he knows, right?
I don't think he knows. I think he just voted for Shaheen because that's who it's got to be. Right. It can't be him.
Me, it's gotta be him. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't actually know how much power he'd really like. I don't know what he could really say that would be new information then to the jury.
That's a good point. So Shaheen, Camilla, David, Mary, maybe Mitch, that would already put him at five. Star, Chrissy, Cedric. I could see Chrissy voting for Joe by being frustrated that they let him get to the end and her being like, I told you all this was going to happen.
Yeah, but I also think that, like I said earlier, she did seem to be a respect the game player where she hears all that laid out. She'd be like, oh, Kyle did sort of best Joe. Like, all right, maybe it wasn't by voting him out, but he wasn't just laying over and letting Joe like dominate him. He was doing things to undermine Joe. So I could see her voting. I could see it being a clean sweep, honestly, but it's hard to, it's obviously hard to do that.
Yeah, so you're thinking like maybe in this scenario it could be an 8-0, maybe a 7-1 if Cedric or something throws one over. Because I could see Cedric being like, I respect you, Joe, or I respect you, Eva. I got to make this vote happen. Here you go.
I could see Star voting Eva. I could see Star voting for Eva. I feel like they had a good relationship, or like at least, I mean, Eva did not seem to like Star, but Star seemed to like Eva, like gave her the idol. So I could see Star being like, oh, that's awesome that you made it this far, Eva, and like voting for her. And even Mary and Eva had somewhat of a close relationship where Mary, you know, felt close enough to ask her if she'd play the idol on her, you know? So maybe there's a close relationship there than we realized. Maybe Eva ends up with more votes than Joe.
I could see that. I actually could see that of just like from a relationship standpoint, because I think that I've been saying this for a while, and then you brought it up here, but like, I really do think that Joe is going to shoot himself in the foot with the whole, I wanted to play a game of honor. I wanted to play with integrity. I was out here for my kids. I was out here for this. He's going to get confronted one time of, so Joe, you're proud. You want to do this for your kids, and you come out here and you lie and you backstab and you do that. And he's going to say, I didn't do that. Boop. There goes all of his jury equity. It's just gone. Yep.
It's as simple as saying, yeah, you know what? I did do that. Right. Like it's as simple as being like, it's almost like the Tony of like, yeah, I did it for like, I'm not playing for my kids to respect my game. I'm playing to win $1 million for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's also like, I laugh at like, Joe was like, I'm teaching my kids like how to play Survivor the right. Like, you teach your kids how to be bad Survivor players. Like, if you're to teach your kids to just play with honor and integrity, they ain't winning.
Yeah. Please bring him back for Blood versus Water, says every former player. Like, sure, we'll go play with Joe and his kids. Like, we're going to beat him. So in this scenario, in this final three, because you're going Mitch at 5, Camilla at 4, what's your 1, 2, 3?
I mean, I if you asked me 10 minutes ago, I would have said Kyle, then Joe, then Eva. But the way we just laid it out, I think it would be Kyle 1, Eva 2, Joe 3. And maybe it's a tie between Joe and Eva. Maybe they each get 0 votes or 1 vote each. Mm-hmm. But if I have to officially say, I would say Kyle first, Eva second, Joe third.
And let's say we did get a 6-1-1. When was the last time all three people at Final Tribal Council got a vote? Not in the new era.
Yeah.
There's always been a 0 vote.
In Winners at War.
But no, Michelle didn't get one.
Oh, Michelle didn't get a single. Oh, that's right.
She got shut out 12-4-0. Trust me, that's burned into my brain. I've never stopped holding the grudge against all those winners for that.
Someone said Ryan, HHH.
Oh, that's true, because I guess that was a 4-2-1 or a 5-2-1, something like that. But no, Michelle didn't get a vote. Yeah, so Ryan Ulrich, I mean, that is true. Yeah, because he got 1 vote against Chrissy and Ben. So there you go.
Yeah, obviously Laurel didn't get any in Ghost Island.
No.
David then, versus Goliath.
Angelina didn't get any.
I hope, speaking of, I hope she's back for 50.
Oh, yeah,
I feel like those rumors, her and Christian.
We did a 50 cast rumors and prediction episode this past Sunday, and I was like, unless she's pregnant, because I know she's had 2 kids and maybe she's trying to have a third, unless she's pregnant, Angelina's on that island. Like, Angelina, they've already got her cot set up for the pregame stuff. They're ready to go.
Yeah,
so I guess you have to go all the way back to Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. And I actually think that in both of our scenarios, in a Kyle, Joe, Eva, and even if that was Camilla, or if it's Kyle, Camilla, Eva, which is the one that I'm going to make the argument for, I think all three people get votes. In both scenarios, I actually think that you're in a situation where you could get all three, or like you said, we could just get an 8-0-0 in the Kyle, Joe, Eva vote. And it's like, well, you went to the end, but ultimately, like, you didn't have the game that Kyle did.
Yeah, if it's my scenario of Kyle, Joe, Eva, I as weird as this sounds, I think that Joe has a better chance to win than Eva, but Eva has like a better chance of getting more vote. If that makes sense, like I could see like Eva has like a higher floor, lower ceiling. I would say, whereas Joe has higher ceiling, lower floor.
I completely agree. Joe could be a 0 vote finalist, or he could pitch it so well that he gets 5 votes and wins. Eva can't win, but she might be coming in with 2 people locked in who are like, I respect you. I love you. You got my votes.
Yeah.
Easily. So I want to talk through this Kyle, Camilla, Eva situation real quick. So that would put Joe and Mitch onto the jury. Joe is voting for Eva. So Eva's got 1 locked in, no doubt, hands down. Now Kyle and Camilla are trying to make the argument of why their game is better sitting next to each other, explaining it and having it shake out. Is there any potential after they make their pitches that more than one person votes for Eva? And if yes or no, who do you think would ultimately end up taking the most votes between Kyle and Camilla?
So, yeah, I think that if it's Kyle, Camilla, Eva's actually got a shot of winning. Not a big one, but she's got a complete lock in Joe. Like I said, I could see Star voting for her. Then it just takes one to get in like 3-3-2 territory, or, you know, two to win the game, ideally, for her. So I don't think that would happen, but it's more likely. I think Kyle would get more votes than Camilla, because I think that people would like, Camilla didn't really play the middle as much. Like, she's always sort of been on the outside. I think Kyle has played more that double agent role, where he was officially in the strong alliance of five or six, and he was also working with someone on the outside the entire time.
And you don't think
and
that
maybe more relationship.
You don't think that could help Camilla, though, with Star and Mary and Mitch, who were always on the outside, and Camilla seemed to be trying to work a little bit more with than Kyle was?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I just think that, and again, maybe just the editing, it just feels like Kyle's a more likely winner than Camilla.
Yeah, I feel you on that too. And I think Kyle would get the most votes, and Camilla has gotten kind of like this second place, fourth place. Like, hers is the journey, right? She's been involved. She's been there. She's been a part of it. And like, everybody was talking about who could be the woman from 48, and they're saying, say, like, make it Camilla. I'd watch Camilla go run around.
I'd like to see her play again. I like Camilla a lot. I think she's a funny character, engaging. A lot of her, like last night, talking about, you know, I like running people over the with a bus or whatever. Like, I think she's a really smart and likable player.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe just ended up on the wrong season or sat next to the wrong person at the end. But then somebody had brought up here, and I just want to throw this one at you, because I think we're both in agreement Kyle's going to win this season, right? Like, Joe only wins if he sits next to Eva and Mitch. That's how he wins the game, which is very unlikely to be the scenario.
I think he'd have a better shot also if it's Camilla instead of Joe, or instead of Kyle.
True.
Like, if it's Joe, Eva, Camilla, I would pick Camilla to win, but I think Joe's got a better shot in that scenario.
That could be like a 4-3-1 or something like that, or even a 4-4 tie, and then Eva turns around and votes for Joe to win over Camilla, you know, the Ghost Island-esque. Daniel Levin here, he wants to ask, any chance Joe and Eva vote out Kyle at five? Any shot that you see that happening?
No, because why would they, right? Like, in their mind, Kyle just saved them. Unless they get back to camp and they're like, I think he might have been lying, and they think about it. But, you know, Camilla's not going to vote with them. Unless she's like, you know, unless that's where we see where it's like, maybe it is my best move to vote out Kyle. Yeah. You could get Mitch, but I think Mitch is more likely to vote with Kyle and Camilla than with Joe and Eva.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And Mitch going to Final Four with Eva and Joe over with Kyle and Camilla feels crazy to me. Like, why does he think he has a better chance to beat Eva and Joe than to beat Kyle and Camilla?
Right. He won it.
Yeah. Especially since Mitch's game would reflect Joe and Eva's a lot, where it'd be like a lot of like, here's my story, here's my situation, more so than like necessarily here's everything I did in the game. And that's, Mitch has to know that that's going to be what his argument is when he gets the final tribal at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he even last night was like, you know, we can't let Joe get fed. Like he's clearly recognizing Joe as a threat. So I don't know why Mitch would, unless honestly, the way to do that, if you're Joe and Eva, would be one of them wins immunity, right? And then you can maybe get out Kyle, because Mitchell really can't vote for either of them. Mm-hmm. Or even if they, like, let's say Mitch wins immunity, right? Or Camilla. Then if you're Joe and Eva, you have an idol. Even if all the votes are coming on Joe, Eva gives the idol to Joe, right? Because like, people aren't going to vote for Eva at five. One, because Joe's the bigger threat. And two, because they just assume she's playing it for herself. So if all three votes are coming in on Joe, Eva gives the idol to Joe, Eva and Joe vote for Kyle. But I don't think they got that in them.
I don't think so either. I think that it's going to be a lot of Kyle going over and saying, look, man, we saved you from Cheyenne. Let's make it happen. Let's just vote Mitch out. We go to the four, and Camilla just happens to be the fourth instead of Cheyenne. Isn't that great? And he's going to be like, sure, sounds good to me. I wanted to get Mitch out. Mitch just wanted to get me out. Whatever. That's fine.
I think from an entertainment standpoint, the most interesting outcome is Mitch winning the Final Five challenge.
I agree with that. I think that would be great from an entertainment standpoint. I also think it would suck because it might. Well, no, I think it would lead to Joe or Eva going home. I do. I think it still would lead to one of them going home. It would just be a matter of Ken, Kyle, and Camilla figure out who's going to have the idol and who's going to play it. And I think that's the one thing I will say for this season. I know we're going to be wrapping up here in a second, but I think the one thing I will say for this season is for how frustrating it has been at times, we're going into a Final Five. The only person getting fifth that would shock me is Kyle. Like, that's the only one. I feel like any of the other four people could get voted out at five in case Eva does play her thing for Joe, and then they say, well, let's vote for Eva because she thinks Joe's the threat. Like, who knows? There's reasons there. And I think final four fire making, we don't know. We've talked through very logical final three scenarios, but also Joe could get voted out at five. They could go to four. Kyle and Camilla could end up squaring off in fire, and it could be a Kyle, Mitch, Eva, or a Camilla, Mitch, Eva final three. None of those scenarios would shock me, and that's the one positive I will give this season coming into the finale is there's still a lot up in the air. Even if I am giving Kyle, last night I said I'm giving a 50% shot, then Camilla 35, and then Joe 15. I'm probably closer to like 60% Kyle, 25 Camilla, 15 Joe at this point, because I do think that the more we've talked about it, the more I've thought about it, I think Kyle's got this.
I would rank it as Kyle is like 70. Joe is 20, Camilla is 10. I think that Joe is more likely to win than Camilla, weirdly. Like, I think if one of Kyle or Camilla are going to win, it's going to be Kyle. Mm-hmm. And I think if one of them don't win, it's because they lost to the or however it shook out, like just the powerhouse of Joe wins the season.
True. Yeah, I could see that for sure. That's cool, man. Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. So a lot of people, I got a lot of I told you so's. I've been collecting receipts. If Joe doesn't win this season, man, next Wednesday night, I'm going to be such a troll to everybody. I'm going to be relentless because I've just been saying the whole season, like, I just don't see it. And I've been wrong before. I miss Marianne and Erica big time. But, like, I was right on Gabriel. Yeah, that's true. I mean, some people knew Marianne, but I also think that might have been one of the most heavily spoiled seasons of the new era. But, like, I thought Jesse was going to win, but I kept telling people if Jesse doesn't win, it's Gabler's season. And people thought I was nuts.
I was so wrong. Gabler was 48 seasons of Survivor. I've never been more shocked than when Gabler won.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, I did not think it was that crazy, but there you go. So
yeah, I was early. Like, I never had Joe as one of my top winner picks until like the last couple weeks, really, where it's been like, all right. Because I kept being like, well, they're going to get him out. They're going to get him out. Yeah. He's such an obvious threat. The closer it's like, well, they haven't got him out. Obviously, the higher his chances go. But yeah, I've always had, I think Kyle and Camilla have been my two most frequent winner picks this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was Kyle, and I thought David actually had a shot because they were getting him so much screen time. But then,
oh, I didn't think David ever had a shot.
I don't know. It was weird. They kept giving him so much personal content. It was freaking me out. But Kyle's kind of who I've been leaning towards for a while here. But before I let you go here, Tommy, then what are you thinking for 50? Who are you dying to see on 50? If you had to make your, and who are you saying, I don't want to see them at all?
So, I mean, it's tough because like in an ideal world, 50 would be legends, right? Like, I know they kind of did it with Winners at War and Heroes vs. Villains, but you would have Boston Rob, you'd have Russell, you'd have Tony, you'd have like Cochran and like all these like the biggest names ever. You'd have the 10 biggest men and the 10 biggest women ever. You'd have Parvati, Sandra, Amanda, you know, like Suri. Like you'd have just like the 20 greatest players ever. But that obviously is not happening. So I don't I don't want to see Say back. I think it's crazy if she comes back. That's recency bias. Sean Rector, I know, has been rumored. I always liked him as like a kid. I was like 8. He was just one of my first favorite players ever. I don't know why. I just liked Sean. I know people are like, how many times do we need to see Suri and Ozzy play? I'll see him play 100 times. They're good for Survivor. I'll see Suri and Ozzy play. I'd love to see Malcolm back. I think Malcolm would be really cool. I would have loved to see Jesse and Carolyn back from the new era. I thought that if you told me there were going to be minimal new era people back, Jesse and Carolyn would have been the number two or the top two, but clearly they've kind of implied that they will not be back.
I mean, Carolyn came on our podcast and said she's not on. She came on and said at one of our recaps, like, nope, I will not be there. And I believe her because she's
crazy.
She's been emotional about it. It's crazy that her and Jesse to me, those are 1A and 1B for the new era. So it blows my mind that they're not in there.
Other than that, from the new era, I don't need to see any of them. like the new era, you know, it's gotten better, I think, recently. But like, there's nobody else that pops into my mind that I'm like, I need to see them back. I know Jonathan's been rumored. He's cool to see back, I guess, because he's just such a hulking mass. But like, we know how his story ends, right? He'll come in eighth or something.
He's not winning. Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to think. I'd like to see Christian back. Devins, like I'm thinking of names that have been rumored that I want to see back. I'm down to see Amanda Kimmel back. Who else?
I'm trying to think. So from older seat, like Stephanie LaGrossa seems like she's in the mix. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, Colby. If you had a season one person, who would you want it to be?
Because I'd love to see Greg. Well, I mean, honestly, I'd love to see Richard Hatchback. I think that can happen. I don't know if he's in jail. I feel like his deal is, but like, if you're really celebrating Survivor, Richard Hatch is still, in my mind, like on that Mount Rushmore just because of what he did for the game. But I think Greg would be really funny to see because I watched season one when I was four. I don't remember it. I rewatched it like a few years ago as a conscious adult. And, you know, Greg is super funny. And like seeing how he's evolved from, you know, I don't know, what was he, 25 at the time or something, to like however old he is now.
He might have been a little bit older because I know that season just skewed old, right? Like for some reason, Survivor 1, everybody except for like Kelly Wigglesworth was actually older than you think they were. But whatever it is, I've always been a huge Greg guy where I'm like, please bring Greg back. I would watch Greg every time. I just feel like he's a pipe dream. I don't feel like we'll ever see him because I feel like after the show ended, he was just like, I got what I needed from it. I don't care.
Yeah.
But that would be awesome. I keep saying to people, because there's all these rumored names and stuff, I keep saying, I think we are going to get one or two absolutely random, haven't been on the radar at all people who have just been quiet. Like Redmond before Winners at War, Ethan and Amber or something like that, he didn't realize we're going to be on until like day of announcing. And I feel like we might be in that situation with this cast where there's going to be a person or two where you're like, they've done a great job of just keeping their mouth shut and not letting it get leaked that they were in the mix.
You know who I don't want to see back? Rupert. I know he's been rumored. I'm such an anti-Rupert guy. I don't need to see Rupert play again. Well, we've had enough Rupert.
See, James, I'd watch Rupert.
You said in the chat, I was a huge James fan.
James, for sure. I mean, I would watch Rupert. I'm the same way with Colby. I think people give Colby a really hard time because like his game in Heroes vs. Villains is so all over the place. But honestly, like that version of Colby would be so much fun to watch again. Like that version of Colby isn't what you remembered Colby being because he was such an upbeat hero. Whiny Colby, I'd watch whiny Colby any day of the week. And I think he's actually very fun TV. And that would drive him crazy with these new era people and some of these newer players and the advantages and stuff. I think Colby would be great TV at this point.
I do think one of the cool things about 50 and it seems like it's going to happen is like, we are going to have people from 2001 and 2024. Like we're going to have so many different eras. And I know people say, oh, they should do like an era versus era season, but then they're all in their same trial. Like you're probably split up into like old era or old school versus new school. Whereas like right off the bat, we're going to have a season one contestant maybe, or season two contestant on a tribe with like a season 47 contestant. Right.
And it's, I love like, that.
Wow, that's like, I didn't even know these two people were in the same universe, you know?
Yep. That's for me the bigger thing, and that's what I think would be awesome. I'm such a fan. Like, Heroes versus Villains, great, but like, you want to see these people interact. And I think you can't do old school versus new school, but like you're saying, imagine you get Elizabeth and Jervis, let's say, and they're on a tribe with, I don't know, Charlie and then like Rick Devins.
Yeah.
Or Genevieve. Yeah. Like, that's what I want. How, like, then you're kind of getting into, even though it's returning players, you're getting into kind of an all walks of life thing. Like, Wesley White says here, Colby on a tribe with Q.
Yeah. So oh, Q. I want to see Q back. Sorry. I said Carolyn and Jesse. Carolyn, Jesse, Q are the three from the new era where I need to see them back.
And I feel like Q is just such a lock at this point that like people aren't even having the conversation.
But
like,
then I saw there were rumors that he wasn't because he was having a kid or just had a kid or something. I hope he's there.
I think he's there, man. I think it would be, I would be floored if Q is not there. Q wants to play again. Q would play again. Like, I would be shocked if Q is not there, but imagine big Q, mistake
if they don't put him on.
Big mistake. Yeah. Q and Colby on the same tribe. Like, Colby trying to like reason with Q and be like, no, yeah, this is why we should do this. And Q just being like, who the hell is this guy? He's old. Yeah.
And there is also an element of like a lot of these new era players are fans of the old era players, right?
Yeah.
Like you said, so many new era people are super fans where do you look at them? Are they going to be able to look at them as a peer? As like, this is somebody I need to beat? Or is there going to be like a little bit of like idol worship? Like, you know, we saw with Boston Rob in season 22 where, you know, that you kind of get swept. And obviously that's different because those were all returning players outside of Russell. But yeah, or all new players besides Russell. But like, is there a little bit of that idol worship of like, all right, maybe I should vote Colby out, but man, he's fucking Colby Donaldson. He was on Curb.
I mean, I think he was on Curb. I think it comes down to like how Adam played in Winners at War, right? Like Adam was a fan of our podcast when our podcast had hundreds of listeners, not thousands. And like when Adam goes out and plays on 40, you're like, that's me playing with those people.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. He played a pretty damn good game. He played aggressive. He went after his heroes. Like, and I do think that a lot of these new era people, they have that cutthroat mentality. It's just that there hasn't been a reason for a lot of the new era people to have cutthroat mentalities with each other because there's been so much kumbaya and like, oh, we're so friendly. Like, isn't this great? No villains. I think some of them have that cutthroat mentality. And, you know, they always say, don't meet your heroes. Everybody always says, Rupert in Heroes versus Villains was like the most annoying human being to be around, yeah, because he just complained the whole time.
Yeah, Rupert, oh God, he was such a drag on that. And I was like, I'm a huge Russell guy too. Like, I know he'll never be back. If we're talking to people I'd love to see back, I'd love to see him back on 50, but that'll never happen. I think he's doing Traitors instead, right, is the rumor.
Do you think he's like, on Traitors? I didn't hear that.
I mean, I'm just looking at Twitter rumors, but yeah, people saying he's on season 4. Like, I was such a Russell guy in season 20, especially coming off season 19 where he's dominant. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm 12, 13 at that point. So I'm in like peak of like, I don't want to say peak, but there is something where it's like you're a kid. I obviously we both still love Survivor, but even as a kid, Survivor, it just means even more. Like, there's just less things in your life, right? Like, there's, yeah, less things that affect your mood. Whereas like Survivor was a huge thing. Like, this person got voted out. Like, I remember, I don't even know if you, I mean, I'm sure you'll remember because you're a fan, but Nate in Cook Islands.
Of course. Yeah.
Like, he, I like cried when he got voted out. Like, I loved Nate. Like, there are guys where it's like, it would, and Russell, I was such a big Russell guy. And so Rupert going at him all season, I was like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I loved Russell. I've done some stuff with Russell. I get why they wouldn't want to bring him on, being like that they don't want to get villains. And I know he has said some controversial things. He's done some controversial things. Like, I've been,
but also at the end of the day, you know, it's a reality show. Like, I understand, like, it shouldn't be, let's bring back the 20, you know, most sweet boys and girls from the past 50 years. Like, you know, you want some of that. And like, so Say, I don't know if you've seen Say on Twitter, like, has said,
is it possible not to?
True, has been like shitting on her cast a lot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like my initial reaction was like, fuck her. Like, yeah, you know, like, you came in 13th or whatever, like, or 12th. Who are you to say all this? But then there's a party where it's like, maybe Survivor needs some of that. Like, you need, mm-hmm, like, what makes good reality TV. Like, and I don't even really consider Survivor reality TV in a weird way. It's, to me, it's a competition show, right?
I agree.
But like, yeah, maybe it needs a little bit of that reality TV. It needs a little Bachelor, Bachelorette, Love Island of, mm-hmm, crazy characters and bad blood. Like, I think that would make it more mainstream. And it's obviously it's mainstream, but I think at this point, everybody who's watching Survivor has been watching since season one already. Like, they're super fans,
yeah, but, or they've gone back and watched it all because they're just obsessed, right, with it, and it's their new obsession, right?
Like, unfortunately, nobody is tuning in and being like, let me check out Survivor season 48, right? Like, let's see what this, yeah, is all about. Yeah. Like, they've, yeah, done a great job of, they have their fan base, they're not leaving, with, they're also probably not getting any new people. I think if you wanted to add more new people and make it feel like more part of the culture again, like there's so many shows, so many reality shows that actually do less viewers. Like, I said about this with, mm-hmm, Sam yesterday, like Bachelor and Bachelorette do like less viewership than Survivor, but it feels like it's almost more currently part of the culture because like they're big on social media and everything. Yep. And like, and people maybe, you know, that are younger on social media talking about it. And if you go on Survivor, or if you go on The Bachelor, you're gonna get way more followers on Instagram than you, yep, will from going on Survivor. And maybe there is, should be a way to dip into that crowd a little bit more. And I think that would come from these villainous people.
Well, and that's something like, my wife loves all of those types of shows, right? She's always talking about that. And it's funny to me because we do this podcast for probably the number one reality show from a viewer perspective. And our numbers aren't that crazy. And we're one of like, I feel like we're one of the bigger podcasts. I look at your numbers, like you do solid numbers too. But like, then you go look at the people who are doing like Bachelor podcasts,
oh, yeah,
who are also like maybe the fifth, sixth, seventh, whatever biggest podcast out there. And it's like, they're crushing it because it is such a different, like my parents don't use the internet. You know what I mean? Like they use it for work and my mom uses it to like book vacations, but yeah, like they don't use it to go and listen to this stuff. They could care less. And I do think that's something that has really come through. Like the Traitors isn't getting better numbers than Survivor, but because the people who watch it and the people who are on it are so active on social media, it feels like it's the biggest show in the world, but you look at the numbers, yeah, and it's actually not close.
Yeah. I think Traitors is actually the perfect example where if I went on Twitter or TikTok, everything, okay, Traitors, 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 Traitors. But yeah, viewership wise, there's less people watching it. But I mean, even the fact that Traitors on a streaming service only,
yeah,
right? Like Peacock, like you have to be a little, even a little bit savvy to download Peacock. Like there's a, yeah, lot of people, like you said, your parents, like my dad watches Survivor, like they watch Survivor, like they sit on their couch. They say, oh, it's a Wednesday at 8 p.m. I'm going to watch Survivor. You know, they're maybe sitting in like Nebraska or something and they're like 50 years old. And they say, all right, now time for Law and Order SVU. Like they're not, yeah, diving in as much to like the Twitter and the TikTok and the YouTube and podcast and all that.
Yeah. And I don't know how Survivor changed that, because obviously Jeff always talks about he wants to have a younger fan base, right? Like that's what he's looking for. He always talks about the youth and how important that is for Survivor. It's a family show. Get the kids in it. Because at the end of the day, you're talking about it like we are the people. We are literally what Jeff wants. We are the people who sat down episode whatever. I started season two, episode two. I sat down. I was 8 or 9 years old when that aired. And like, this has been my obsession since that day. We're the people he's looking for. So how do you build that up? I don't know. But Survivor doesn't hit for some reason in the same way in these like social settings that a lot of these other shows do. And maybe it is because there's not enough nastiness. There aren't those moments like Johnny Fairplay lying about a dead grandma that are going to get people's attention in what is a pretty negative little country we live in right now.
You know what would be a, you know, it would be a good way to do it hypothetically is if one of your former cast members went on a show like, I don't know, Traitors, and maybe she was like, I don't know, the star of the show, and everybody was like, where'd this girl come from? I'd love to watch her play again. And maybe you have a season coming up with returning players and you put her on 50 hypothetically. Maybe that would help, but
yeah,
they're not
right that. Hypothetically, and maybe like if you like talked about it in a positive way instead of just like crapping on them the entire time. It's so insane. And I mean, like, there was such an opportunity of like Carolyn goes, again, going into your hypothetical, goes Survivor, Traitor, Survivor. She's coming back to Survivor with a massive new fan base.
Right.
It's the fan base you want. It's literally the fan base you want.
It's on a silver. I mean, hell, I know he probably doesn't want to do it, but put Boston Rob on 50. Like there are people who never watch, yeah, Survivor. They're like, who the fuck is this godfather? Yeah. Right. Like capitalize on that. I think that's more, I think Jeff would put Rob on every season. I think Rob doesn't want to, yeah, do it. I get it. But yeah, I mean, if you put Rob and Carolyn on season 50, like you're going to get a lot of that audience.
And they're saying with Suri, it's like, well, she played Traitors. And if she's going to be on, that's one thing. But it's like, but Suri played the first season of Traitors. That was a while ago now.
Yeah.
She played on like the least exciting version of it because it wasn't all just like celebrities. People aren't going to talk about that. Carolyn coming right off of this last season and her whole thing with Danielle. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. We said an hour. Look at us now. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Tommy, where can everybody find your coverage and everything that you got going on? And what's this thing that you got coming out later? Like, when are people going to be able to watch that?
So Snuff and Torches, we just do one a week episode recap. It's like, I mean, we all work at Barstool. It's not like an official, it's kind of just, it's a passion project. But like, maybe there are times where I'm like, you know what, maybe, I mean, it's sort of what we're talking about. There's times where like, maybe I should do more episodes over the off season. But then the other drawback is like, for what, you know, like it, until Survivor gets into that next atmosphere, it almost doesn't feel worth it. But we do at least one every week and maybe we'll do a couple over the off season, but Snuff and Torches YouTube, I think we're on all the podcast platforms.
Yeah.
And then, me, Tommy Smokes on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. And then, yeah, Survivor. I went to Fiji a few weeks ago. It was like an influencer brand trip. It was eight of us, influencer content creators, whatever you want to say, who are just big Survivor fans. We weren't all like Survivor content creators, but just 8 fans of Survivor who do social media stuff, We did a mini Survivor, 2 days on the island, slept on the island, challenge, tribal council, all that. And from what I know, it's going to be edited into like a one singular episode of Survivor that will be on the CBS or the Survivor YouTube, I think in September. It's going to be like for promo of season 49. So early, mid-September, I don't know yet. But if you want to follow me, you'll know, and I'm sure Survivor and stuff will post about it. But yeah, that was a dream come true, and I think it's going to come out really well.
Do you know who Tegwith is over on like TikTok and everything? She just joined our podcast, but do you know her, like her TikTok? She is like some that are like,
what's her name?
Tegwith?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if you ever see her, just know that she's very hateful towards you, because she's like, how the hell is Tommy Smokes going on that? She said, make sure you tell Tommy Smokes I hate him for him going on that.
Oh, was she the girl that made a TikTok while we were there?
I think probably she didn't go. Like, she didn't make the cut.
Yeah. When we were there, like in Fiji, like someone found like the TikTok she made. It was like, how the hell are these people there?
Yeah.
We're like, fuck you right back then.
Yeah. She's very jealous. She was like, oh my God, that's like living the dream. I mean, look what you got to do there. I mean, it's a lot of our dreams. And I hope that it ultimately leads to, again, like if Tommy, if you play, when you get in Jeff's ear, just let him know that like you did an hour and 30 minute podcast with me.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't put in a good word for Phil. Yeah. I think that like, I almost think, I was the exception of like, I was the only person there that did Survivor content. Like they said, they were like, we're not looking for Survivor content creators. Mm-hmm. So like someone like her, like I think was like not like they wanted people who were other content creators, like that did other stuff that also just liked Survivor. I think that was a conscious decision of like they weren't just looking for Survivor content creators.
They should have done a traitors content creator and had them come out onto the island to try to help build their audience for Survivor.
Yeah, that's true. You know?
That's what they should have done. That's cool though, man. I'm looking forward to that coming out and you know, maybe over this off season, we'll figure out a way we can do something else again. Like once this 50 cast gets announced or something, maybe we can come on and we can break it down either over on yours or you come over on our channel again. I think that'd be super fun.
Yeah. So. Happy whenever you want.
All right, man. Awesome. Well, everybody, I will be live tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern time with Blake. We're doing Digging Deeper tomorrow. So we kind of reversed the order, but we'll dig deeper into last week's episode or this week's episode. And then we'll talk about what we think for the finale. And that'll be the last episode before the finale recap that Will and I will be doing next Wednesday. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We are finishing out Token Chains this week. And then we get into Samoa for the next 4 weeks. You can hear us talk all about Russell Hantz, because what else would we talk about during Samoa? So that's what we're doing for the next 4 weeks. Australian Survivor coverage is going on over there of past seasons, because I'm watching them all for the first time. So you can check that out and watch me and listen to me suffer through Survivor Blood versus Water, which the Australian version of that, Tommy, if you haven't watched it, is the worst season in the history of Survivor. It is.
Everyone always tells me watch Australian Survivor, watch. And they almost may get me, because I know Tony's back and Parvati, but I don't know how to watch it. I'm a loyalist.
You know what it is, man? I was the same way. I held out. And then people were like, well, if you do it on the Patreon, we'll like throw you some money to do it. I'm like, great. Awesome. Put it behind a paywall. Awesome. And then we did this last season live, and this last season was pretty good, but everybody always says it's better. It's not. The editing is so bad on so many of the seasons. They're overloaded. It's just, oh God, there's a lot of complaints I have with Australian Survivor, but I'll save those for the patrons, you know? But anyway, thank you all so much for listening. Tommy, it was a pleasure to have you. And like this video, subscribe to the channel. Good luck the rest of the way. If Joe wins, man, I am wearing like a World War II helmet here, because people are just going to be throwing bombs at me because they're going to be so mad at how I was this whole season. So thank you all so much for listening. We'll see you next time.